Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chen.
Hey, race fans, welcome to Race Fans Rock Radio. I have a really good show for you tonight. Now, my guest will be Dan Basham. Now, Dan was my dedicated fan and the stand reporter this past weekend at Phoenix International Raceway. He did it all, and he has an incredible story to tell. He definitely has a strong connection to Phoenix International Raceway, and he's going to be talking all about it. You definitely don't want to miss it. But first, I got to tell you a little bit about my week. While everyone was in Phoenix, I was home in North Carolina, and it was killing me not to be there. I got to tell you. But I did try to make the most of it by following social media very carefully all weekend and posting what I could and what I thought was news, you know, post-worthy to keep the conversation going, you know. And it was a good one. I actually had my live social sofa chat room open for the truck race last Friday night on my racefansrock.com social community site. And it was a really good room that night. God, I love being able to talk to race fans directly and instantly, and I was able to do that. And I know that as the site continues to grow, we're going to get a lot more people in there and really, really have a really good race party in the chat room every single race. Now, I am super excited that I will be going to Homestead this weekend for the grand finale, and I can't wait to get there. It's Miami. It's hot, and I love that. But yeah, it's the last hurrah of the year, and the atmosphere is intense, but not too intense, where a lot of the crew guys will be really happy to begin their long winter break. Well, let me clarify. Some of them guys will hit the unemployment line on Monday morning, and a lot of them will start work at the race shops, you know, to start building new cars and working on next year's programs and things like that. So there really is kind of sort of no real off-season. I mean, the real people that do have an off-season are the cameramen and, like, the TV announcers and things like that. So they're the ones that should really be looking forward to the off-season. But Homestead's going to be really special this time around. And right now, I'm not thinking of the off-season. I just want to get down to the track and see how this all plays out. Now, a lot of people have been asking me, who's my pick to win the championship? And I am really, really, no joke, no lie, I'm conflicted about it. I mean, I think the final four contenders all deserve to win it, you know, that being Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr. Now, they all have really good reasons why they should win. So for Jeff Gordon, it would be great to see him win it so he can retire at the top of his game as a champion. And I don't think anyone can disagree that that's an amazing way to end an extraordinary career, hands down. So that's why I would like to have Gordon win it. Then you have Kyle Busch, also another great story of overcoming the impossible. Now, he missed a ton of races at the beginning of the year after his horrific wreck at Daytona, not knowing when he would walk again, let alone drive a race car anytime soon. And not only did he overcome that and get back in the hot seat, but he picked up as if he never left off. I mean, he made up for lost time in no time. He made it right up the charts and leaps and bounds, and now he's in contention to win it all. Now, that would be a really great storybook ending for this year. So, it's a real reason to cheer for him and hope that, you know, he wins the championship. Then we have Kevin Harvick, and he's the reigning champ already, and he's looking to make it a back-to-back win, which by no means is that an easy thing to do. I mean, except if you ask Jimmy Johnson, but in reality, Kevin is in a unique position looking for championship number two in a row, which is a good reason to cheer for him to win it all too, you know? And then, last but not least, we have Martin Truex Jr., the little engine that could and did. You know, he made it to the Final Four, the underfunded team, you know, the only team not in the North Carolina race hub area, which, by the way, if you don't know, having a race team and not being in the Mooresville area, it's a really, really tough thing to do since everything a race team needs is right here. But, I mean, they overcame the odds. They performed well. They deserve to be in the Final Four. And everyone loves to pull for the underdog. And speaking of from experience as part of an underfunded and underdog team, I mean, even though Furniture Row Racing isn't as underfunded as our race team, they are still considered underdogs compared to like Hendrick Motorsports, Joe Gibbs, you know, Stewart Haas Racing. So right there is an excellent reason to pull for Truex to split off and claim the championship. So these reasons are why I'm not going to pick one out of the four, because they all have really good stories, and it will be nice to see just how it all plays out. And thankfully, I will be there to see it all happen in front of my own eyes and my camera lens. Oh, yeah, you know it. Pics are going to definitely be posted and droned. Don't worry about that. I got like 7 camera batteries, and they'll all be charged every day. I'm ready to go. I will also be fulfilling fan requests at track. Fulfilling those fan requests that you guys send me at the track. This will be the last time this year that I'll be able to do it. So if you have them, make sure you send them over as soon as possible. Now, not only will I be fulfilling fan requests, but I will be checking out everything at the track and talking all about it, from the garages to the outfields, the infield, and especially the campground, a place that I hope to be able to call home, starting with Daytona 2016. You see, I'm already thinking of next year. And this one isn't even over yet. So, but like most of you guys out there, this off-season is going to be tough on me, you know. I'm definitely going to be checking out the campgrounds and meeting some of the awesome people from the NASCAR Campground Network in person, and kind of going over some ideas and plans. And, you know, of course, I'll be wearing my sporting NASCAR Campground Network hat while I'm there at the track. So if you're there too and you see me, make sure you stop me and say hey. Now, speaking of the NASCAR Campground Network, I've been speaking about them for a couple months now. But now, if you haven't heard, they are the official campground of NASCAR, and it's a really wise decision to become a member of the NASCAR Campground Network if you're a race fan, or if you're an outdoor enthusiast, if you love going camping and traveling across the United States and Canada, and so much more. Now, the NASCAR Campground Network is doing a great thing to kick off Daytona Week 2016. Check this out. They are giving away a free trip for 4 to Daytona for the whole week. I mean, you can't beat that. Now, it's a fantastic week of fun at Daytona Race Week 2016. One lucky grand prize winner will receive 1 week's lodging in oceanfront 2-bedroom condominium. And that's really cool. They're going to get $1,000 airfare or travel cash. They're going to get $1,000 spending money. They're going to get infield passes for 4 people for the entire week. We'll get a behind-the-scenes VIP tour for 4 people at Daytona. They're going to get a special parking pass. Now, you can't ask for more than that. I mean, I'll build even more if you got in the car and drove around the track a couple of times, which I'm probably sure you could probably do that too if the Rich and Pedro have experiences there as well. But listen, for this contest here, the entry deadline is December 1st, 2015. Now, the winner is going to be chosen in a random drawing on December 18th, 2015. There's only 1 entry per person, so make sure that you and you get all your friends and family to enter it as well. And you got to be 18 years old by January 1st. Now, there's no purchase necessary to win, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So check it out. And while you're on their website, the NASCARCampgroundNetwork.com, check out the benefits of becoming a member, because it's a good deal. I mean, there is so much stuff that you could do as a member of this amazing network. And check it out. Now, normal price for a full year, full membership is $159. But if you use the code INCHILDGEN at checkout, you're going to get that same package for only $79.99. That's really, really good. So I can tell you from just by speaking to everybody and speaking to a couple of members that are already in the campground network, if you join for the $79.99 using my code and you go to just 1 event or 1 campground per year, you'll automatically be saving the amount of what the membership price costs. So you definitely want to check it out, and you definitely want to join. It's a really good company, and they're only going to get bigger. So check them out. Visit the NASCARCampgroundNetwork.com. They're the official campgrounds of NASCAR. All right. Tonight's show is brought to you by RaceGear.com. Now, if you're the kind of race fan who loves memorabilia from all your favorite NASCAR drivers and teams, then you have to check out RaceGear.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your racing memorabilia. They have everything, and I mean everything, and you can get it all with a few simple clicks, and it's on its way to you. Prices are really good, too, and if you use the code RaceFansRock at checkout, you're going to receive an additional 10% off your order. So don't wait any longer, just until the show's over, and then go over and check out racegear.com. All right. I have my dedicated fan in the stand reporter, Dan, on the phone. Now, Dan was an awesome dedicated fan in the stand reporter at Phoenix this weekend, and he's on the line to talk all about it.
Good evening, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing good. Dan, how are you?
I tell you what, I wonder if I'm on the East Coast or here in Arizona. It's been a little bit nippy out here the last few days.
This weather, that weather is just insane. I mean, it rains, what, like 8 days a year out there, right? And it waits for NASCAR to get there to do this. I don't get it. Do you?
I totally don't understand it. I wish my brother, who does weather reporting, was there to give me a little bit better understanding of it.
What did he say?
He says that, you know, it's going to be colder back there in the Charlotte area where he works at right now, and
mm-hmm.
Deal with it. And it's not as cold here as it is there.
It's not too bad out right now. It's in the 60s right where I am right now, so not too bad. A little light jacket and I'm good to go. But let's talk about Phoenix. I mean, you were there the whole weekend, and it didn't rain the whole weekend. So, but I want to take it back right to the beginning. So when did you actually become a NASCAR race fan?
Back in 1999, security company I worked for, Winston had hired us to watch their cigarette and office trailers back then. And to man their giveaway booths to ID people to make sure they were of proper age to receive Winston's giveaways. And that first day, I walked away, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got the bug.
Now, is that how long you've been going to the track? I'm sorry. Is that how long that you've been going to the track? Okay, cool. So now, you went to the track this weekend. What was the first thing that you did when you got to the speedway?
Paid my $60 to go into the unreserved camping to spend it with my beautiful wife of 4 years now, and to reunite with our camping family out there that we have.
Cool. So you have a special little clique out there.
Yeah, we have a little group called Race Fan Central that we got probably 24 people that are in this group, and it's a wonderful time. It's like a big family, big old family
That's
out
nice.
There. And
very nice. So now I know Phoenix International Raceway has a really special place in your heart and in your wife's heart. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about, you know, why that is?
5 years ago, I went in for a minor shoulder surgery and suffered a stroke during that time. And a year later, I'd asked my wife to, then fiance, to marry me. And we're trying to get some disability things took care of, and said everything works out right, we can get married at NASCAR. And I made some calls, and I turned back at her and said, well, I guess we'll get married at NASCAR. She said, well, you need to get a trailer, otherwise you're not getting married out there. And lo and behold, she's a feisty Italian woman, I tell you.
I might know a thing
behold,
to do about
that. My parents found out what was happening and what she'd said, and they loaned us their fifth wheel trailer.
Oh, cool.
And we were married out there in our campsite on 11/11/11.
Oh, nice. Aww. Now, how accommodating was the track to allow you to, you know, have your wedding at the track? What did they, you know, make you go through, or how easy was that to set up?
Well, back then, we tried to see if we can have it somewhere down the infield. And a couple of friends of mine, Heather and Anita, who are part of our camping family, had some friends add on to the wedding invitation. We event page we'd made up on Facebook. And between Heather and Anita, another friend of ours who we didn't know at the time, Kathy, had gotten together with others in their group and said, hey, we're going to have this couple come into our camp and we're going to host their wedding.
Aww.
And where we camp at, the tram line cuts through the camp going from the parking lot to the track. And we figured 50, 75 people, and we ended up with around 250 to low over 300 maybe people
that
showing
up
at the wedding.
Very cool. Very nice. Now, I know that when you went to PR this weekend, you you kind of had a little nuptials again. Can you tell me about that?
The last couple of years, I've had some different health issues that have come up, and it's made for a little bit of bumpy roads here and there. And the original wedding band I had started falling apart. Different pieces were coming off, and I had ordered a new one. When it came in, she saw the package, hid the ring, called me over, and tried to put it on my finger. I said, nope, sorry, I have other plans. But I wasn't too smart. I was afraid she might think, oh, he's going to divorce me and marry someone else. I was like, no, trust me, we're good. I just have other plans. And just started asking around, and I got a hold of the track chaplain, PIR, Kim Bowers, and he'd agreed to loan us his services. When we met up with him, he said,
very cool.
You know, why don't we go into Victory Lane? And that's where we went. And Jerry Gase's father witnessed it, and spectacular.
Oh, cool.
Very
He's a really cool guy. That's nice. That's really cool. So, so how long was the ceremony?
I'm sorry?
How long was the ceremony?
Maybe about 5 minutes. We were trying to time it at the end of Cut's final practice. And he had some obligations there at the track, so he had to kind of get to him. And he was able to talk over anyone that's heard Ken Bauer's speech, the PIR's track chaplain. His voice carries. And it was perfect. We heard everything he said. And Day, his wife, had made us up a special certificate for the vow renewals. And we were able to get the driver number 32, Joey Gase, to sign it. And Harvick's crew chief. And it just, I mean, the weekend was spectacular. Other than the rain, was spectacular.
Nice. Now since you were remarried at the track, since that you were remarried at the track, I'm assuming that you spent the honeymoon in the campground. So tell me a little bit more about the campground at Phoenix. What are they like out there?
It is like, let's see, the best way to say it is maybe taking like a Holiday Inn or something, just taking off the walls, and it's just one big party out there from the very west end at Sun Lane all the way to the hillside of the track. And
so would you say that the campgrounds were the campgrounds like full?
Where they were. Like what? I'm sorry.
Were they full? They could fold out?
They were on the west end where they usually have people parking. They had to block off some of that parking to make extra room for campers. It was packed wall to wall. Where usually the fall race, it's Thursday night before it's packed.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tuesday, Wednesday that it was just jam-packed with campers from reserved to unreserved, all over the place.
Wow, very cool.
Never seen that many.
Let me ask you this now. Do you have to worry about, like, rattlesnakes and scorpions, like, while you're in the campgrounds and overnight and, you know, things like that? Or is it all cleared out?
It's pretty well cleared out. One time, about 13 years ago, I was out there camping. We were walking to the race one day, and someone in our group was like, stop, and there goes a baby rattler right in front of us. And
oh, geez.
Everyone took off running, and I think I've seen one scorpion in the whole time, too.
Wow, you're brave. I wouldn't do that. I don't know if I could go handle that out there. I mean, I actually turned down an opportunity to go up on Rattlesnake Hill to kind of look at the track, you know, with my own eyes. I mean, I've seen the pictures of it a thousand times, but to go, and I actually like, no, that's okay. They probably don't call it Rattlesnake Hill for nothing, and I'm not that brave, so no, I'm not going. But, yeah, I've heard some stories, but, ooh.
You have so many different views or options for being able to lead the race, such as Rattlesnake Hill, as it's referred to. And some people prefer it, and others prefer to be somewhere in a grandstand, such as the ever-so-coveted Bobby Allison grandstand just below the suites, because you have shade throughout the whole race.
Yeah. It can be pretty hot when the sun's on, I'm sure. But you also had access to the garages all weekend long. So what did you think of the garages and how they were all set up?
I like the how they're set up. The openness, I think, is the word I want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the pit crew members from all the teams, if you had questions, unless they're prepping the car for qualifying, that's the only time that they really wouldn't take the time to be able to answer any questions or whatever. And the openness of the garage area is just spectacular.
Cool. So now, I'm sure that you've met a few drivers there this weekend. Who was the first driver that you met and took a picture with?
The first driver I got a hold of was Justin Allgaier.
Okay.
The 51 car.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost had Brian's brother, Brad. My wife distracted me, and by the time I turned around, he was running over to Xfinity Garage. But I did get a picture with Harvick's wife.
Okay, cool. Well, that's cool. I mean, so now, overall, which driver did you have the best experience meeting the most, and why? And it doesn't have to be just this weekend, just in general. Who's the, you know, who did you enjoy meeting the most?
Going back over time, I would honestly have to say, my favorite is Harvick, but the one that took their time when you stopped to talk to him was Brad, and that was back when he was racing for Junior Motorsports in the 88, sponsored by Navy.
Oh, cool. It's always good to hear. So where did you wind up watching the races from, each one of the races from?
Friday was up in the stands. We started down in the garage and then moved up in the stands until for a family matter we had to leave for a little while for Friday evening. And Saturday was up by Hillside with some friends out of Vegas. We were invited to go sit with them. And Sunday we tried getting in we're up in the stands until it started raining.
Mm-hmm.
And once it stopped, we went down and just head for cover.
Gotcha. Oh, that makes sense. Well, that's good. Now, did you have a chance to get to, like, the outside of the track and see what was going on out there?
Yeah, we were excited, or more curious, maybe, to see how they had the souvenir set up. When they were here earlier this season in March, they'd still had the haulers.
Right,
and
right.
Talking to some people, we got mixed reactions to how they had the tent set up. Some were happy,
so
some were not so thrilled. I thought it was good, but kind of old school, miss the haulers kind of deal. But their presentation for it was awesome.
Cool. Now, what kind of merchandise did they have in there?
They had a bigger variety of shirts and jackets and sweatshirts. A little different than when they had the trailer haulers out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The choices have been expanded. And the quality of what we were seeing was great.
Cool. Nice. Now, what else do they have set up in the outfield? Like any cool things set up out there? Like anything for kids and families, things like that?
They had I'll go on to the food for a second. They have a regional, Southwest regional food company that's out there called Filiberto's. And anyone that lives here in Arizona or California where they have a Filiberto's knows that they have the best food around. And it's almost like a state fair carnival kind of feel with the food setups around there.
Okay, cool.
And they had the where they used to have some focus on the kids. It seems like some of it's kind of lost on this go around.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so there wasn't much out there for the kids to do.
There's in talking with people in the last couple of races, so much has been scaled back. But different companies that try to make an effort or to make things more fan friendly for any age level.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, at least there's something for them to do out there and keep them entertained, you know, and having fun outside the track. So, I mean, it's good to hear. It's still a pretty big struggle to get fans to the track as it is. So that's always good to hear. Now, did you happen to notice how full the grandstands were for the races? I mean, despite the rain on Sunday, I know that was a struggle, but how full were they for, like, the truck race and the Xfinity race? Did you notice any more than usual?
The truck race had for Friday night was actually a little bit more than what we've been averaging the last few years because with the truck series only stopping here once a year at the fall race, it was more everyone kind of centers around and, you know, they're assigned seating. It's kind of you can move to where you want to as long as nobody's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And the percentage is up. And then the Xfinity race, the same thing. There were a lot more people I saw on the hill this, you know, whole 3 days to watch the races and than I've seen in probably 10 years.
Okay, well, that's good. Very good to hear. So what would you say, like, some of the best features about Phoenix International Raceway are, in your opinion?
Some of the best features, having a Safeway, the grocery store set up there. They have a big old tent set up and the different varieties that they have. When they first started a few years ago, it was a little bit rough and not a whole lot of choices, but they're getting better and better every race to where you don't have to lead the track. You can simply walk over, ride your bike, and it's a better choice than having to lead the grounds for some people. Saves on DUIs and lawyers.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, I'm glad that you said that. I mean, actually, for the first race at Phoenix was my fan, Sam Reporter, his name was Josh, and he had said the same thing, that store in the infield was absolutely fantastic. So well, that's cool, and that does set PIR apart from a lot of other tracks that are out there. So that's good to know for anybody that wants to go to this track.
They have pedicabs. They had a different pedicab in company in this weekend. And what my wife and I enjoyed, this time they had 25 bikes out there, but they also had 10 golf carts, and for $3, they would take you to anywhere you want to go to on PIR track property. And there was one time we were coming out from the stands or from the track, needed to go to camp, and we paid $6, and they took us a mile all the way down to where our camp is at.
Okay.
It's very well worth the money, and that's a new feature. Pedicabs have always been there, but having the golf carts, it's spectacular.
Nice. That's pretty cool. I haven't heard of that. So what other tracks have you been to?
I've only been to one other track, and that was Kentucky Speedway last summer, and a friend of mine that lives there in Kentucky invited me back. And walking in and just looking, comparing Kentucky to Phoenix, I'd have thought as a Daytona, it was just, for me, it was just that huge. And just amazed at the difference. I love my home track, but wow, astonishing.
So you like Kentucky a little better?
I'd have to go again just to see, but do I want to go again? Yeah, but to say it's my favorite, it's hard to say.
Well, PIR is home for you, so I mean everybody likes the home track. But sounds like you guys have a lot of fun out there. Now, did you have a chance to check out like the concession stands and see what they were serving and how were they reasonably priced and what did they have?
The Filiberto's I was talking about, they had some great food. And once again, too, it's like a state fair carnival setting for food booths around there. And they had a hot dog vendor that had these curly fries that were put together. It looked like a brick.
Oh, wow.
And the pricing's fair. And
what they charge you for the fries?
$7, I believe.
Oh, that's not bad. That seems like they gave you a good amount for the price. So okay, that's not bad. That's cool. It's reasonable. So Dan, I know that you took a lot of pictures and stuff out there, and that you're going to send them. I'm going to post them up on my infogen.com website on a page just for you. But other fans that want to kind of see some of the other pictures that you've taken this weekend, where can they go to see them on social media?
If they look up my name on Facebook under Dan Pookie Basham, I have some posted there and still have a couple more to put up. My phone did not like working for a few pictures, and it's one of those sledgehammer phones. Yeah,
it happens. I mean, and if you don't have Sprint at the track, it kind of, you know, it kind of signal is really tough out there. And once everybody's at the track and the race is going on, there's so much signal that's going on, everything else gets cut out, even if you do have Sprint sometimes. So I've been there and done that too myself. It's it can be frustrating, so I feel your pain. But no, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I think you did a good job and you had a great experience. And then thank you for sharing that with me tonight. And just want to wish you and your wife lots of luck and happiness. And thank you for being my dedicated fan and the Fan Reporter.
I'd like to give a quick one or two shout-outs, if I can, to some
friends
that helped us. A friend of mine named Marty of Max Automotive here in Glendale, Arizona, let my wife come into his shop to get the car serviced, to be able to go out there because it had some things that happened to it. And friend Marty had her come in and he took care of it. So it, she had a way to get out there.
Nice.
And
good job, Marty.
To our group of Race Fan Central, Jeff, Kathy, Anita, and Mike, and Karn Elizabeth, without these people, it just adds to your experience to be part of this group.
Very cool. Now, do you have pictures of the whole game?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Well, send them on over too, and I'll make sure that I add them up on the up on your page. That'll be good.
Awesome.
That'll be really cool. Cool. Well, Dan, thanks again for coming on the show and for being my fan and the fan reporter. I hope you have a happy holiday season.
And you too.
Thank you. I will talk
Thank
to you,
you
soon. All right.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you go. Another one of my awesome dedicated fan and the stand reporters, and he had a great time at the track. Now, I got to tell you, it's been a fun year having this program in place, and I hope to be able to do it again next year. Now, I'm finalizing some details for this upcoming weekend's dedicated fan and the stand reporter from Homestead, and I'm going to announce who it'll be on my social media channel by Thursday. Now, sometimes it's hard to pick a person, and I have quite a few candidates for this this weekend coming up, so I'm going to have to make a decision soon, but it's pretty difficult. All right, so now it's time for a few hot topics that's burning some rubber in NASCAR this weekend. Need to say more, Matt Kenseth returns. Now, that is a hot enough topic right there. You know, big questions right off the top being, has he learned his lesson, or will he go out there and continue the feud with Joey Logano? Will it be Joey Logano that takes his shot at Kenseth? You know, will it be worth starting off next year with a penalty? Do they dare chance sitting out the biggest race of the year? My guess is no way in hell. But, I mean, you never know what will happen between the both of them. I mean, I was pretty sure that it wouldn't happen in Martinsville, and you know, we all know what happened. So, honestly, I say they should secretly meet somewhere and kick the crap out of each other and get it over with. Then again, you know, just remember I'm from Brooklyn, and there's a whole different way that we deal with things and the way we settle things out there. So maybe it's not such a good idea to listen to that. But anyway, in honor of Jeff Gordon's last race of his career, his teammates, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Jr., and Casey Kane, are going to honor Jr. by having their numbers in his classic yellow color adorn their cars for his final race. So you can see those paint schemes ahead of time by visiting HendrickMotorsports.com. And you can catch the final four drivers tonight on NBC on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Now, that show starts at 11:35 p.m. Eastern Time, so set a reminder for yourself and don't miss that show later on tonight. Now, in other news, M&M's Mars Company has extended their partnership with Kyle Busch and Joe Gibbs Racing through the 2018 season. That's awesome. The Mars vice president went on to say, "Our partnership with Joe Gibbs Racing and Kyle has routinely delivered for us at the tracks as well as in-store with millions of fans." Do you hear that, potential sponsors out there? Branding with a NASCAR team resonates with millions of fans, which are your potential customers. So, you know, call me, and I'll get your name, your brand, or your product out there to those millions of potential customers, too. I mean, I would absolutely love to say, I just signed a multi-year deal for Brian Race and represent you, the sponsor, for years to come. That would be great. So, okay, again, sponsor, if you're out there, call me. Well, that's what's hot this week, and I'll do this again next week, and we'll get to see what's hot and worthy of talking about then. Now, this has been brought to you by Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. How would you like to multiply the cash you have today into the cash you will have tomorrow and down the road for years to come? Well, you can do that with Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. They're a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals like you and me achieve financial freedom. No more having to worry if you'll have what you need when you need it for those rainy days. The Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC have helped thousands of their clients live the life they've only dreamed of with peace of mind. That's huge. Now, they've helped me for several years, and I can't see myself without them. Brian can't either. You shouldn't either. So visit www.highlandwealthny.com for a consultation. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made, and it could be the best decision that you make, too. That's www.highlandwealthny.com. Now, you know, as Info Dan, I try to do as much as possible to do everything I can to get race fans involved. I started out as a race fan, so I totally understand what a race fan is thinking when they are on the other side of that fence. And I'm trying to do the things that I wish someone did for me when I was only a fan. So I came up with my Infield End fan sponsorship program. It's gotten pretty popular, too, over this past year. And it's awesome. Now, what it is, and if you haven't heard about it, it's twofold, really. When you become a sponsor, you know, you're going to be able to help a race team get the things that they need to be able to go to the track and do what they do, right? And as a sponsor, you will get to go to the track and see everything up close and personal. and I've made it really affordable for you to do that. Now, my Intelligent Fan Sponsorship Program allows you to do everything you've ever wanted to do at the track. So for more information, visit my website, intelgen.com, and click on the Fan Sponsorship link. Now, on that page, I have all the details listed and a list of commonly asked questions with the answers you'll need to make that informed decision. Now, once you do, and you make it, I'll call it the right decision, to become a sponsor, just connect with me and let me know when I will be turning you into a team sponsor too, starting next year. Visit www.intelgen.com/fan-sponsorship. You'll be glad that you did. Now, I know that you guys have heard me talk about my racefansrock.com website, but have you checked it out yet? You know, have you joined it yet? Well, if not, let me tell you a little bit more about it. Racefansrock.com is my social community. It's dedicated to racing and everyone in it, and that means you. You could sign up for free right now. You can customize your profile however you like. You can instantly connect with other race fans who like the same drivers as you do, and you can make new race fan friends. There is no limit on how many friends that you can be friends with, which is a really nice feature. Now, when you post status on racefansrock.com, you can simultaneously post it to your Facebook and Twitter as well, which makes it a one-stop shop. And best of all, it's designed to be a race-themed social site. So, you know, friends of yours that aren't into racing are not going to complain about you posting racing crap up and clogging up their timeline. It's not going to happen. There is not another social site out there like racefansrock.com. Now, other features of RaceFansRock allow you to create your own blog posts, events, post tons of your racing pictures and videos. You can create your own racing groups and join any one of the live chat rooms that I have set up for every driver in the top three series and then some. These live chat rooms are my absolute favorite part about RaceFansRock.com. And what's really cool is that your favorite drivers can stop by at any time to chat with his or her fans in real time in their own chat room. Plus, when a driver joins RaceFansRock, he or she is verified, so you will know that you are talking to that actual driver. Now, as if these features aren't great enough, just know that we are not stopping there. We have a lot of plans in the works for RaceFansRock, and as the site grows, you know, we're even talking about implementing an iRacing league for the off-season. Now, I think it would be pretty exciting, and I'll keep you all up informed on how that all goes and when it'll be ready for some iRacing. It'll be a lot of fun. Now, as always, my main focus is that the site always be fan-friendly and always have fans involved. So after you check out Race Fans Rock, please send me your thoughts on the site. And if you have any suggestions for it, let me know what you think of it and what you'd like to see up there. And you just may see something that you want get implemented on the site in the future. Now, racefansrock.com is growing in leaps and bounds every single week. It's awesome to watch it happen. And I get a kick out of seeing these numbers skyrocket. Now, we've welcomed a bunch of new members this week, as we did last week and the week before that, and so on and so on. Well, since April 6th this year when we launched, we are well over 256,000 page views and interactions. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. Now, I hope you'll take a second, join the fun, and help make racefansrock.com become the best social racing site on the planet. That's www.racefansrock.com. Now, this racefansrock.com cleaning services. If you're in the North Carolina area or any of the surrounding areas, make sure you contact Page Cleaning Services first for all your home and office cleaning needs. It doesn't matter how big of a mess you make, Page Cleaning Services will make it sparkle and be really clean, like new, in no time at all. And I trust them with my home, and believe me when I say, our dogs can make it a real challenge for them, but they do an excellent job every single time. As you can see, they're pet-friendly, so that's a big plus. Another big plus is that they're fully licensed and insured, so you can trust and call Tate's Cleaning Services and book your appointment today. Visit them on Facebook, / Tate's Cleaning Services, that's T-A-T-E-S, Cleaning Services. You can email them at NorthCarolinaMade@gmail.com, or you can call them directly at 763-269-1919. And make sure you mention that you heard about them from me in Field Gen, because you'll get a discount from them too. And I absolutely guarantee you're going to love them as much as we do. All right, it's time for a race rundown. Time to find out who's who, who's in it, and who's driving what this weekend at the Track of Champions. You know I'm talking about Homestead Miami Speedway. All right, let's start with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. There are 32 trucks on the entry list for Friday's season finale Ford EcoBoost 200 at Homestead Miami Speedway. We've got Scott Lagazzi Jr. in the number 14 for NTS Motorsports. Russ Kenseth will be in the number 18. Austin Theriault will be back in the 29 for Brad Keselowski Racing. Rico Abreu will be making his second start in the 31 truck, also for NTS Motorsports. Kyle Weatherman in the 58 and David Lamine in the 59, both of them driving for Lyra Motorsports. Garrett Smithley will be in the Mittler Brothers number 63 truck, good friend of ours. Brandon Brown will be in the number 86, David Gilliland in the 92, and Jesse Little will make another return to the series in the number 97. And the Ford EcoBoost 200 at Homestead Miami Speedway is set to start this Friday night, November 20th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time with live coverage on Fox Sports 1, Sirius XM Radio Channel 90, and MRN, the Motor Racing Network. Now on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series. We have 41 cars on the entry list for Saturday's finale Xfinity race, the Ford EcoBoost 300 at Homestead. We've got Derek White in the 13. Mike Bliss will remain in the 14. Carlos Contreras will be in the 15 for Rick Ware Racing. Derek Jones finishes out the year in the Joe Gibbs Racing number 20. Brian Blaney will drive the number 22 for Team Penske. Anthony Kumpen will return to the 55 for Godovic Motorsports. Garrett Smithley is pulling double duty, and he will drive the number 70 for Garrett Cope. Tim Vians will be in the number 74 for Mike Harmon. Mason Mingus comes back to the number 97 for Baker Racing. Eric Amarola will be entered into the number 98. A little extra practice isn't going to hurt, right? Now, the Ford EcoBoost 300 is placed on Saturday, November 21st at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time with live coverage on NBC, NBC Sports Live Extra Online, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90, and on MRN, the Motor Racing Network. Now, we're moving on to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, the big one. The entry list for the Ford EcoBoost 400, that's 400, at Homestead Miami Speedway shows 45 teams and drivers for only 43 spots. That's going to be tough for two guys. We have Ryan Blaney in the 21 for the Wood Brothers. Josh Wise will be in the 32 for Go Green Racing. Ty Dillon will take the seat in the 33 car for Circle Sport Racing. Reed Sorensen will take the 62 for Premium Motorsports, headed up by Jay Robinson. We have the number 95, Michael McDowell will be piloting that car for Levine Family Racing. And Ryan Preece will be in the number 98 for Curve Racing. Now, drivers who need to be in the top 36 in speed because they have no provisionals available to them, meaning that they're the lowest in owner's points, would be Reed Sorensen in the 62, who's 45th in owner's points, and Michael McDowell in the number 95, who's only at 44th in owner's points. Now, drivers that would miss the race if qualifying is canceled, meaning that they have the least amount of race attempts, would be Ryan Blaney in the 21 with only 18 attempts, and Michael McDowell in the number 95 with only 19 attempts. Now, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Ford EcoBoost 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway is set to start on Sunday, November 22nd at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time with live coverage on NBC on Sirius XM Radio Channel 90 and on MRN, the Motor Racing Network. Make sure you check that out. Now, if you're not at the track this weekend and you're not able to catch the action, that's okay. Just follow along with me on social media, and together we will chat about what's going on at the track all week long. Plus, I'll be there. So, you know, make sure you send me those questions and requests that you have all weekend long. I'll start to fill them as soon as I get there. Now, consider me your set of eyes and ears, you know, if you can't be there in person. So it's all good, and I got you covered. Now, you can find me on Race Fans Rock by simply typing in Phil Jen in the search box and add me as your friend. You can still connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/InPhilJenFanpage and /RaceFansRock. My personal page on Facebook, it's reached that 5,000 limit. So, you know, every now and then I get someone that deletes me or deletes Facebook, whatever it is, and a spot opens up so I could add somebody on. And I'll keep doing that there. So eventually I'll get to you if you send me a friend request. Now, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at InfieldGen. I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr, Pinterest, Periscope, and more as InfieldGen. Cindy out in Ohio has repeatedly sent me messages saying that she wants me to Periscope some more, and I will do that for her this weekend. So I'll do that for a lot of people, I guess. I will Periscope as much as I can this weekend. So make sure you check me out on there. Now, be sure to visit my website, InfieldGen.com. on a daily basis, and check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results that include all practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and final race results complete with race notes and penalty reports for every race. Make sure you check out my new blog posts, cool fan stories, different teams' press releases, photos from my dedicated fan and the stand reporters, and so much more. So check it out, see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on InfieldGen.com. And, you know, if you have a suggestion for something you'd like to see posted on InfieldGen.com, feel free to send those suggestions to me via the contact form on my website at the bottom of any page that you're on. I get those messages directly, and I will answer you back. Then, you know, don't forget to click over my merchandise tab and get yourself some InfieldGen gear. Like I said, a couple weeks ago at Texas, I was blown away when I saw my buddy Ray wearing an InfieldGen shirt at the track, and that was really cool, and I wouldn't mind seeing everybody else wearing them, too. But, yeah, check it out, see what I have, and let me know if you like it. All right. We're running out of time for tonight's show. I want to thank all the race fans who allowed me to turn them into sponsors this final week, and hopefully I can add you to that list next year. Once again, I'm sending out a huge shout-out to RaceGear.com, Highland Malt Advisors, LLC, Tate's Cleaning Services, and to everyone of you who tuned in. Hope you guys enjoy this grand finale weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway, and I know I will. And I know my dedicated fan and the stand reporter, whoever it turns out to be, will do a great job of keeping me up to date with everything that they're doing at the track, and it'll all be shared on InfieldGen.com. And make sure you tune in next week to hear all about it right here on the show. Now, if you're going to be in Homestead this weekend too, feel free to send me some of the awesome pictures that you take from the grandstand. Whatever you see, send it to me so I can see how much fun you're having, and I will post them all up on InfieldGen.com under the Fan Central section so everyone else will get to see what you see too, the race from your view. Now, if you're going to be camping out in at Homestead this weekend, connect with me there and you know, send me some of the cool pictures of your campsite setups and tell me what's going on at your campsite, because I'm going to be out there too. I'm going to be walking around the campgrounds and checking it all out. So I may just stop by your campsite for a surprise visit with I might have some goodies for you. So send that to me. Now, I really can't say enough good things about the NASCAR Campground Network, so definitely take a minute and head over to their website, NASCARCampgroundNetwork.com, and check them out. Make sure you enter for your chance to win a trip for four to Daytona 500 in 2016. It's a great, great prize to win. Now click on their blog section on a regular basis and read exclusive articles written just for the NASCAR Campground Network. You won't see them anywhere else. Check out all the benefits and become a member so I can hang out with you and see you at the NASCAR racetracks next year. All right, and when you do become a member, do not forget to include my name in InfieldGen at checkout to receive that huge discount on your yearly membership. You'll love it. We're going to have a lot of fun next year, and you don't want to miss out. Once again, thanks to Dan Basham for coming on the show and doing a great job at Phoenix International Race with this weekend. And I want to give a shout-out to you guys once again for tuning in tonight, and we will get to do this again next Tuesday evening. Till then, you guys have a great week. I'll catch up with you again right here, same day, same time. And remember, everyone, race fans rock. They really do. But check out racefansrock.com. Good night, guys.